This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Frustration with the federal government. Commonplace. Commonplace now in the 21st century. It was commonplace in the 20th century. What is the driver? Because this isn't, as I understand it, a partisan issue. Frustration, exhaustion, disenchantment. There are a lot of words for it. I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the column Wonderland, and he's looking immediately at the frustration over the gun laws in the U.S. and these mass murder tragedies. But that is one example of how Washington is told to do something. And then, Dan, a very good evening to you. The immediate tragedy in Texas following the tragedy in New York and many other places across the country. The American people are watching Washington to lead on this. And Washington is leading in rhetoric. How is it that Washington does not lead in legislation or common sense judgment? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, I think the emphasis should be on common sense judgment. Let it never be said that Washington doesn't lead in legislation, or at least the governments at all levels don't lead in legislation, which is ultimately the point I was trying to make about the call that the president made in his speech on guns the other night to do something. He must use the phrase do something several times. And this is like a cry of the heart out of the heartland to do something about these mass shootings. Well, the reality is that government for decades has been doing something about any and every such problem that comes along. And I think what we have to do, it's a terrible realization to come to, but step back and take a look at what kind of political system we have produced, which is to say a system that has piled up so many solutions to problems, so many sub-solutions, so many lawsuits, regulations, administrative rules, revisions of revisions, that in many of the areas which were supposed to be solvable problems, we now have gridlock, a system that just doesn't work. With guns, we're talking about red flag laws, which are laws that allow the authorities to take a gun away from a person who is a danger to himself or to others. They had a very strict red flag law in New York State, but Buffalo still happened. And on a more general issue of gun laws, strikingly in that talk the other night that the president gave, he never mentioned the extraordinary rate of killings that are going on in America's inner cities, cities like Chicago, New York, Baltimore, St. Louis, Los Angeles. All these cities have extraordinarily strict gun control laws. Guns in most of them are almost impossible to buy and to possess. And yet the killings go on weekend after weekend in all these cities. They're filled with guns. And this is not to say we shouldn't, quote unquote, do something. But even when we do something, politics can intervene. I was thinking about this just earlier today, John, red flag laws. You know what? We used to have the equivalent of a red flag law in New York City when the city was full of violence. It was called stop and frisk. Stop and frisk was when the police were allowed to stop someone on the street who they thought was carrying a gun and interrogate them. And if interrogation went far enough or suggestive enough, they would take them in. And in fact, many of these individuals were carrying guns. Ultimately, that policy worked. They took so many guns off the streets of New York City that it became the safest big city, as anyone who visited it will tell you, in the entire world. But the ACLU filed lawsuits. Stop and frisk was ultimately declared unconstitutional by a federal court. And lo and behold, violence has returned to New York City. So no wonder that the American public becomes disenchanted and begins to lose confidence in a political system that performs in that way.
You have another example that doesn't involve immediately guns, and that's mentally ill people on the streets in San Francisco and Los Angeles and throughout California, the homeless. Mental illness is the driver, not the ability to pay rent. What did the government do about that, Dan, that we're still living with?
Well, in the 1970s, again, this was under pressure from the activists, they deinstitutionalized the mentally ill, which is to say, let them out of mental hospitals and psychiatric institutions, allowed them to go back onto the street. This was supposed to be an act of humane treatment. The promise was in legislation back then that the government, the system, would provide community-based care, which is to say, somewhere in the community, they would be able to go to get their medications for the psychotic disorders that they were suffering from. And in fact, the community-based care never really materialized. And so many of those people today, because they have no institutional support, end up homeless on the streets, self-medicating with drugs or alcohol, which turns them violent. That has become a political issue in the mayoral primary going on right now in Los Angeles. It's an issue in the recall election that the prosecutor in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin, is facing this Tuesday. So bad ideas can have bad consequences, John, and it is a political system that's produced many of these bad ideas, and they seem to have just crested now in so many ways, and this has turned a lot of them, like homelessness and crime and guns, into a big political issue.
If I read you correctly, Dan, part of this do something is that what is done is to blame the other side. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer blaming the Republicans for and fill in the blank. And you write, however, that this rage, which substitutes for actual effective action, is practiced by both sides. That's do something to raise money. Does it mean that the system has failed, Dan? The system in Washington, we can't count on it?
You know, at the moment, that's very suggestive. One, you know, having been in the business of politics for so many years, one is always reluctant to just flatly say the system doesn't work, because then we're in really deep water, if that's true. So at some level, you have to hope things will turn around. But it's very distressing and hard to come to that conclusion when the majority leader, Chuck Schumer, and, you know, he's not only a Democrat, he is the majority leader of the U.S. Senate. This is a position of leadership, any way you look at it, goes on the Senate and talks about guns and starts ripping into what he calls the MAGA political opposition. MAGA, of course, is shorthand for Donald Trump. And the Democrats desperately want to run against Donald Trump. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, at the end of this heartfelt speech on guns the other night, ripped into the Republicans and said anyone, if the Republicans don't sign up for his agenda of gun control, they should be voted out of office. Wow, was this really the moment to resort to that level of partisanship? When the country is trying to come to grips with experiences like this, but it's become pro forma for the political leadership to resort to this kind of hyper partisanship. And I have to say, John, in the case of people like Chuck Schumer and even the president, the degree of animosity and anger, emotional anger, they are displaying towards the entirety of their political opposition, whether Republicans or conservatives or anyone who doesn't agree with them, is really striking to see. And it does suggest they have stopped trying to find their way towards a solution.
Daniel Henniger is the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, writing his Wonderland column. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.